Well, we have a lot of ground to cover today. The phony holiday Earth Day we talked about last week. Lawfare and the death of justice in the United States. The self-destruction of the church. And then Jim Calhoun drops by with observations about the disintegration of the family.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Got a lot of topics I want to cover today, and I really don't even know where I want to begin. I've got them laid out here on my desk, and I don't know which one is the most important. I don't know which one I should share first. So I'm just going to grab the first thing I've got in front of me. And this story really talks about our hopes for the future, especially here in the United States. Now, I hear from so many of my regular listeners in Canada, and I just don't know what to make about how bad things really have gotten in your great nation. I'm having a hard time really realizing how much things have changed in the decade since I had the pleasure of going often to Canada. And from what I'm reading and what you are telling me, it's not the same nation, not the same free and free-thinking nation that it once was. You've got a prime minister, you've got government that has become literally, well, Gestapo in their tactics, demanding and buying into this new world order they're going to force you into doing. So a little story doesn't mean a whole lot on the surface, but it does in the long run. Comes out of the province of Quebec. I have a hard time pronouncing the lengthy name of this little French community not far from Montreal. And there they have this idea. If you ever want to come in as a visitor to this little community and you want to come in or leave, you have to have a QRQ code, or whatever they call it, on your phone. You need to pay $30 to get in and then be able to leave. And if you're caught without paying to come into their community, well, it could be a $1,000 fine. Now, what is that a precursor for? They're saying it's to preserve their historic town. That's not the way you preserve an historic town, charging people to visit it. It's a precursor to the 15-minute city. The idea that you're only allowed to travel certain places, and for the right fee, at the right time, if your politics are correct, and you believe the way we demand you do, and you have a vaccine passport, you too may be allowed to have some freedom. And that's a lot where this is going. And here in the United States, we are just obsessed about the upcoming presidential election in the fall. And what a freak show this election is going to be. And I'll get into that in just a moment. Now, I've made some statements on this program over the past year, and I've got a few listeners that got very angry at me. And the worst part is they weren't even trying to understand what I'm saying. I look at the world from a Christian and biblical worldview. And so I look at politics as just one of those evils that are necessary in a society to a degree. And I don't put all my hopes and my aspirations on elections and people. The Bible tells me, do not put your trust in princes or the sons of men. You put it into God. And I had a listener that was like, wow, I mean, you're telling us not to vote? No, I never said that. Matter of fact, if you paid attention and got the wax out of your ears, you'd know that I said we as Christians should vote. And our criteria for the candidate, remember, we are not electing the head pastor of a church, should be the candidate that has the least threat to your faith, your family, your finances, and your freedom. Let me say that again. You choose a candidate based upon which one poses the lowest threat to your faith, to your family, to your finances, and to your freedom. And obviously, when you're looking at what will end up being most likely Joe Biden, Donald Trump, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., there's no doubt in my mind that Trump poses the least threat to your family, your faith, your finances, and your freedom. Biden is a definite threat to both, including threat to the unborn, more so than any other candidate. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. may have it right on the vaccine. He may have it right on COVID, but he's wrong on pretty much every other issue out there, and people are too blind to see it. Look deeply at the plan. It'll get into your faith, it'll get into your family, it'll get into your finances, and it will curtail a lot of your freedom. So I look for the one that poses the lowest threat level. And that should be done when you vote for a governor, a city councilor commission, a county councilor commission, whatever you call it, a parish government official, doesn't matter. Analyze it on those four basic foundational principles. Is this candidate a threat to your faith, your family, your finances, and your freedom? And you have to judge it that way. So yes, we as Christians do actually vote. And I'll be talking a little bit about elections and stuff in just a couple of minutes. And like I say, there's never going to be, probably for me, never has been, quote, the perfect candidate that thinks like I do, that believes exactly like I do. I am just simply trying to find the one that leaves me the most freedom to be the person that God has called me to be and not to interfere with matters that are none of their business. The election this year, I know how I'm going to vote. I voted in 2016 and 2020 for Donald Trump. That was the only option I had. There's no other. Hillary Clinton, are you out of your mind? The woman is dangerous. The woman is a liar. The woman is, you know, she's like with Victoria Nuland and others. They love their wars. They want to keep us busy, busy, busy messing around the globe because they make a lot of money at it. And this election, it's obvious. There's no way I could ever vote for Joe Biden at all. There's not one thing he stands for that I think I can agree with. He's a phony Catholic that believes you can kill babies up until birth in the womb. He's, you know, making the sign of the cross when they're talking about that. Yeah, with a smile and a giggle. It's blasphemy what he did. The fact that the Roman Catholic Church has not excommunicated him and his ilk shows that they're becoming spineless and too political, in my opinion. Or you got a phony pope. You may not agree with that, but I'm just saying, that's my observation. And this notion out there that, yeah, all we need to do is we'll get Donald Trump to run and we'll get him, once we get past all these trials and lawfare, and that's another story I'll get into in a minute, this lawfare, justice is dead, justice is reeking of death in this nation today, when you have buffoons and total clowns like Alvin Braggadocious, who worth $42 million all in real estate and being able to charge $10,000 an hour to Google. He's such a great legal mind. No, he's a bought and paid for stooge. And he looks like a stooge. He acts like a stooge. His entire case is built on a faulty premise, but then you go into a corrupt court where justice died and it reeks. The bench in that office smells of death. It is so, the stench is so high. And the fact that there's no guts in the governor of that state for justice, she's just a political prostitute is all she is. And your attorney general there, yeah, another buffoon. Letitia James, just a political hack that should have her law license revoked, and someday I pray that it will be. Because see, if lawfare like this is allowed to continue by either party in the future, our nation is just dead. Just dead. So if anybody thinks that getting Donald Trump in there and we just get the right people now in the House and the Senate, everything is going to be happy days are here again, you're a nut job. It's not going to happen. There is no way that in 4 years' time, even if you kept the House and the Senate, which I doubt, because at 2 years in, it'll flip again. Look over history. History is repetitive. And those that fail to study history are doomed to repeat it. We have such a entrenched corruption in our government today. 4 years is not enough time to even begin to uproot the cancer that is killing our republic here in the United States. And we have rage and anger. No, it can't be fixed. I mean, it can be slowed down, but you got to remember, the Western world, once so highly blessed by God, is also on the verge of God's judgment. On that, I have no doubt. And while we as Christians who act as the salt and light in this world may forestall the inevitable for a period of time, we better then be using that time wisely and not foolishly for the proclamation of the gospel, the spreading of the good news, and to bring as many into the kingdom as we possibly can with our efforts. We have anemic churches that are dying on the vine. Some are dying even where the word of God is proclaimed because the people don't want to hear it anymore. That's a problem. Other churches are dying because they're just irrelevant. They have nothing to offer but the world. I saw a story the other day. And this comes out of this Southern Baptist, and I'm not picking on them in particular. You know, there are plenty of churches out there that just drive me crazy. One is Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church, where they fleece the flock weekly with false promises, a phony gospel of prosperity, happiness, and everything is just going to be oh so wonderful in this life if you do, as we tell you, like support this ministry and believe everything we tell you and the way we explain the Bible instead of letting the Bible explaining it to yourself. There's a church that this past Sunday in Florida, it's called the Church by the Glades. It is a South Florida mega church. And they did something that is so telling about many of these modern churches today that I find highly disturbing. Many of you have heard of Lady Gaga, and she's known for her, let's say, risque performances, lack of modesty, her obsession with pushing the LGBTQ agenda. And if you thought churches like Lakewood, with some of the weirdness that they do, to reach the depths of worldliness, think again. This particular church, Church by the Glades. And I'm looking at this short little video, and you're hearing the music underneath my voice. This is a song done by Lady Gaga. They're bringing it right into their worship service. A cover performance of a Lady Gaga song called Shallow.
I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive in. I'll never leave the ground. Crash to the surface where they can't hurt us. We're far from the shallow now. In the shallow.
The song is from the movie A Star Is Born. And surprisingly, they're saying it's a search for authenticity and depth in a superficial world. Well, you know something? The Bible has absolutely nothing to say about this. So why would I want to take Lady Gaga's advice on any of it? But that is what's happening today. Charles H. Spurgeon said it best when he said, "A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats." And honestly, the church in America is becoming more and more anemic, more and more effeminate, more and more useless. All these mega churches have is just basically light shows, entertainment, and a thin or false gospel. And then the churches that once proclaimed the gospel have walked away and preach another gospel. And the churches that are out there struggling are the ones that are trying to be faithful to God's word. The time has come when they're no longer enduring sound doctrine. And for themselves, are heaping upon themselves teachers to tell them what they want to hear. That is the church in America today. Then in places like Europe and Canada, you know, upwards of 90% of the people have nothing to do with any of it. They simply live for the world. Now, quickly, I'd like to go back about a week and a half ago when Earth Day rolled around back on the 22nd of April. And of course, here in the United States, the president made a great proclamation about it, saying that more than 50 years ago today, 20 million Americans came together across the country to demand that we prioritize our planet's well-being. And on he went. I remember it well. Sounded like a great idea, but then again, when you're in high school, a lot of this stuff sounds like a good idea to save the planet. But what is it really? If you dissect it carefully, you find out it is pagans trying to replace Christianity, which teaches man has dominion over the earth, not the earth dominion over man. It's a religion of earth worshiping. I've said it before. This is Gaia worship. And Gaia worship is pushed on young people today, starting literally in preschool, with fear of climate change, worship the planet, and just know that government people are going to take all that tax money and fix your planet for you, and you stay at home in your 15-minute city and drive in your electric car when we allow you. And all of it's been based on a big fat lie. Now, although Earth Day in and of itself from 1970 is not officially recognized as one of the sacred pagan holidays, it does have its roots born out of a deeper religious conviction. You can go back to 1967, and there was an essay written by Lynn White Jr. entitled "The Historic Roots of Our Ecological Crisis." He laid the burden on biblical Christianity, destroying the earth for promoting man's dominance over nature. And by the way, you may not know this, but there's something else about April 22nd a lot of people don't know. It's no coincidence that is Lenin's birthday, and the birth then, of course, in 1970, of the climate change hoax that man was going to freeze to death in a ice age that man was going to cause. It all has its roots in paganism. Abortion is Moloch worship. Transgenderism, I'll tell you this over and over again until it sits into your mind and it becomes a part of your thinking. Understand, it is recycled paganism. Greek and Roman and gods from all over the world. There was one Ishtar that can turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man. Isn't that an amazing thing? And so these are some of the things that we face today in our world. Another real quick story. How many of you remember the TV show from the 1960s called Green Acres? Remember the show Green Acres?
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
Now, why do I bring this up? This old TV show, where does this come from? I was thinking the other morning about so many of the websites, blog sites, videos that are sent out, even podcast and radio programs from, in some cases, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here, so kind of bear with me. Some of these people remind me that I listen to and I've heard, and even a couple that I've worked for or around over the years, They remind me of one of the characters from Green Acres. They always seem to have just what you need. Remember the character Mr. Haney? You know, Mr. Haney sold the Douglas family a bill of goods in a terrible house. And he always seemed to have on his truck everything that they could possibly want or need.
How is it you always show up with just what I need?
Well, let me put it another way. How is it you always need what I show up with?
Now, the thought occurred to me the other day, and I've dwelled on this for several days now. It's amazing how there are some so-called ministries out there. They claim to have inside knowledge about prophecy, and God tells them what to expect that's coming next down the pike. And they remind me of the Mr. Haneys, or Mr. Haney back in the program Green Acres. There's a term, and look, I'm not a surfer, never tried to be, never will be, was never built for it. I don't have that great of a balance. But there's a term called catch the wave. And anybody that has ever surfed, especially on the Pacific coast or near Hawaii or other places, will use that term, catch the wave. In other words, you get out there and you wait for the wave and then you ride the wave in. And you act like you run the wave or you control it. There are a lot of preachers today, or so-called. There are a lot of political people today. A lot of conservative blog sites, websites, and what have you, clickbait sites, junk sites, garbage sites. They play the game of catch the wave. Now, what do I mean by that? What I try to do here on Truth to Ponder is I'll see a story, and I may be a day or two late bringing it to you because I want to think it through a little bit. Is there something about this story that is missing? But see, there's nothing in what I do with this story where I'm marketing something to you directly. And just like Mr. Haney, how is it always have what you need? It's because you believe that this person is going to have, or this organization has, some inside scoop. I'm thinking back during COVID-19, there were a lot of ministries selling all kind of vitamin packs and food packs and this, that, and the other, none of which had any usefulness. I've spent 4 years almost following this closely, and there were a lot of things out there that, shall I say, many of the dissenting doctors were saying would work, and those things have proven themselves over time to work. And they were right. But just as Dr. Anthony Fauci in my book is a quack, a charlatan, and a fraud, there are a lot of people selling their elixirs too that are nothing more than another group of charlatans, fakes, and frauds. They are the wolves in sheep's clothing running around there, trying to catch the wave of the next crisis to ride it for their own benefit. Or something that they're trying to do or gain. They tinker around playing that they're going to get into politics. They tinker around selling you their prep food and everything else and any other thing you need. They always just happen to have what you need right now because God gave them a special word. And whether it's selling gold and silver or platinum, or 25-year-old glow-in-the-dark macaroni and cheese that'll last for 25 years. It'll glow in the dark. What I call apocalypse chow. They're always ready and eager to have you call and whip out your credit card to support or buy whatever it is they're selling. And there's something that is increasingly unseeming to me about all of it. Look, I know that we need certain things in our lives. You know, we need to buy food, we need to buy power, fuel, transportation. I get it. But to try to tie it to a fish symbol or some godly insight, there's something that doesn't add up. You know, even Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. And I look at so many of these ministries that are selling everything from COVID cures to prayer cloths to what have you. And if you just buy my DVD or my book, or you come behind my paywall, and you'll get all the secret, super inside knowledge that nobody else has. That is becoming increasingly an anathema to me, and troublesome and burdensome. Look, we know from doing this radio program and the people that I've interviewed, there was a coordinated campaign to attack anybody and defame anybody who spoke out against the, shall we say, governmental COVID-19 response. And while a lot of it was primarily in social media, people getting to platform, it's also been weaponized in real life. You know, there are doctors that lost their medical license after maybe treating 800 patients and losing one. Better record than anybody else, but they were called the spreaders of misinformation. Those that challenged the efficacy of the vaccine and how fast it went to market and watched credible doctors that knew more than some others being told, guess what? We've played with this stuff before, and I don't think it's a safe idea. But every other alternative was suppressed, whether it be hydroxychloroquine, discovered by the CDC back in the early 2000s to be effective against coronaviruses. It was suppressed. Because, see, if they couldn't suppress it, then they couldn't get the emergency use authorization for the actual, well, shot. It would never have been allowed if there was an alternative. Remember, UEA is based on the assumption there's nothing else that can be done. So they lied. It goes back to what I was saying before, that governments lie. Justice is dead. Do not put your trust in princes or the sons of men. I've got one other story that I'm going to have to push off till tomorrow, because it would take just a little bit too long. But it is a story you need to hear. And it's just endemic of what's going on with the church today and Christians in general. There's a lot that needs to be said and shared. I want to take a little time right now before we go to our break. Several things. Number one, I will admit today's program is pre-recorded. It needed to be. It is before I'm having my surgery, which was on Tuesday. And I decided, you know, this is, I hate to put it this way, but you'll understand it. I wanted to make sure that every radio program was done for this week, so I wouldn't have to even think about it in the event there was something that needed to be taken care of, and in the event my recovery time was going to be longer. I didn't want the pressure or concern of the radio program being on me during that time. And I figured if I could have all the radio programs done, I'd be in a much better position. And so with the help of Jim Calhoun and a lot of extra hours, I basically, during the week, did two programs pretty much at a clip for a week, so I could have this week where every program, because we leave on Mondays to head up to out of town for the surgery, and then we get back Tuesday night late. And so I wanted to know that Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I wouldn't have to deal with the radio program. I've tried to get ahead for my church work as well. And so I do want to tell you, and I'll tell you all about Monday, what they found or didn't find or where things stand. But I want to thank all of you for standing with me these 3.5 years. And our 4th anniversary comes up in August. And there are times that I want to grow the radio program, other times that I wonder, has its day come and gone? I don't know. It's really up to you. So as we go to this break, I want you to prayerfully consider, do you want this radio program to stay on? This is not a threat. I'm just saying. What is your opinion? Visit our website, Truth, the numeral, or number 2, ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. There's a tab for support. You can also email me, bob@truth2ponder.com, bob@truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319. That zip code again, 24319. And we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Being with Messiah, coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. In Acts 4, the apostles are brought before the Sanhedrin on trial. It says something real striking. It doesn't say that the Sanhedrin saw their ministerial degrees or their diploma or their liturgical garments. It says something else. It says they recognized them as being with Yeshua, Jesus. That was it. They recognized them as being with Yeshua, Messiah. That's a profound thing, because the sign of the disciple isn't the degree or the certificate or the position or the status. It's something much more important. It's that they have spent time with Messiah. They are recognizable for that. That's it. That's the sign of the disciple. Are you a disciple? If so, bear the sign of the disciple. What is that? Not your degrees, not your position or status or your title. Simply one thing. That you have been with Yeshua Jesus. You have been. You might say, but the disciples were actually with him. I haven't been. It was a long time ago. No, but you have to be. If you're his disciple, then you must be. That's the sign. How? When you spend time with him in prayer, in worship, in praise, in communion, in the quiet, in receiving. The more time you spend with him, the more people say he's been with Messiah. She's been with Messiah. The more you're going to bear the mark of Messiah. Not just for the first disciples, but for you. So spend your time with him. Spend more time with him, my friend. Even change the way you look. What's a sign the world needs to see? That they need to see one thing, that you have been with Messiah, and recognize that, that they can see that in you. And so in the same way, people should see you, because the more time you spend with him, the more you will be like him. Want more? Ask for Healed and In the Judgment Hall on CD. Now, how often do you get something offered to you? Priceless, wonderful, life-changing, and free. Here goes right now. Sapphires is as precious as it sounds, guaranteed to help you become joyful, victorious in God. And The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You'll love it. It's priceless and it's free. How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. So to receive your free gift, just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient people, Israel, and the unreached peoples on five continents. It's amazing. The farthest way you can ever impact the world, your generation, for the gospel. Shortwave radio. It's amazing. Blanket the earth. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. It's right to the nice Jewish boy at Box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy. It's Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Or Haolam, the light of your life.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman, and I want to just take a moment here. Here we are, second day of a brand new month, May. Can you believe that we are in the merry, merry month of May? April just kind of flew by. March flew by. And I just want to take a moment here as we come back to this segment. We've been on WTWW now for a few months, and a number of you have come through to help. We're kind of hanging in there, but I really want to think it through. The amount that it cost this ministry to be on that station, right now, I am having a hard time justifying the cost, because we're really, well, It's not easy. And some weeks I'm beginning to wonder if we're going to have to cut back or just cut it out entirely. Shortwave is an interesting medium. We've had excellent response over the years from WRMI. And we're starting to get people listening on WTWW. But I need to make a decision, and we're going to kind of take it week by week. So just so you know, I have to decide what is best for this radio program. Between trying to build a radio station, being the pastor of a small church, dealing with my health and this radio program, it takes a lot of my time. I thank you for your prayers, and so let me know, is WTWW the station we need to remain on? And you can do that. Right now, as I said, Jim Calhoun has been helping out this week, and he has some thoughts about family. Now, let me just say this. If you are a globalist trying to take over things, the first thing you want to do is diminish the value of the family and have it every man is an island. It's easier to divide and conquer. So, Jim, your thoughts today.
Thanks, Bob. And again, it's great to be back on Truth to Ponder. Well, it seems like lately I've been picking on some pretty hard subjects. And today's topic that I want to discuss is something that's not only very ticklish, but I've been putting off this episode for quite some time just for the fact that I wanted to really think it through. But I'm seeing something, epidemic actually. I'm seeing an epidemic of families disintegrate. Just disintegrate to where they're just non-existent. And almost everyone I know is having family issues. Recently, there was a gentleman that passed away here in my hometown, and I was involved in helping as far as at the scene and cleaning up the room that the gentleman was in. And I didn't sleep for a long time. It was really hard to do. And I felt sorry for the gentleman. He died alone, and he was there for about 18 hours before anyone noticed that he was gone. And he injured himself really bad, and he died of his injuries. And I was one of the first people in the house. And so I was a part of the entire handling of the situation. And what struck me really hard was none of his family cared. No one cared. His mother cared, but she has Alzheimer's and couldn't quite understand that her son had died. His daughters immediately started squabbling over who they wanted to have in their father's house, but they didn't want to come do anything, and so they didn't. And so they had total strangers take care of the body and take care of the funeral arrangements, everything, because they were too busy hating the man to even respect him enough to take care of him. And on the walls of his house were the pictures of his children, the children that are now grown, that didn't care that the man died at all. Don't think they shed a tear. It was almost like with the phone calls they got, they almost told the people that were informing them their father had passed, "Don't bother me, I'm busy watching television." It was that crass, it was that horrid. And that's where I started getting the genesis for this show. I'm seeing it all over. Most of the grandparents I know have been put in the dumpster. I personally have talked to dozens of people that have told me that they're not allowed to see their grandchildren. They don't know why. Their grandchildren never come to visit. They never call. They don't know why. It seems like that something has happened in our school system or our society somehow that deems the older people not only not essential, but just like we're the enemy. I have a friend that has twin grandsons. And she saw the grandsons when they were 3 years old, and they just had a birthday, and they just turned 14. And for some reason, they don't call, and she calls to talk to them, but the parents say, no, you're not allowed to talk to the boys. And every year for Christmas, she says, I don't want anything, just please send me a family picture. They send her nothing. And so she carries around pictures of her grandsons as three-year-olds, because she doesn't have a picture of them older than that. And while that sounds horrid, it's common. It seems like that if any of the grandparents get a phone call, it might be on Christmas or birthday or some other special occasion. Other than that, they're just forgotten. And the pain that I see of these grandparents is real. And there's a lot of it. And of course, every grandparent knows that they have no rights at all. But something has to be done to put our extended families, if you want to call grandparents an extended family, they used to be the most honored people in the family. The old people were the elders. They were the ones that had wisdom. They were the ones people went to for advice because they'd lived life and they'd made the mistakes. But we have a society that tells kids that all adults are stupid and the kids are smart. Have you noticed that? Every movie that you watch or every television show or any program of any type, they always portray the older people as stupid and the kids as smart. And the older they are, the stupider they are and the more expendable. And every once in a while, I'll see an intact family that actually has grandparents there. And it makes me feel good that they're actually part of the family. Being an entertainer, I go to lots of events. And every once in a while, I'll do a wedding anniversary, like a 50th or 60th anniversary. And if the grandkids bother to come, they sit in the corner with a cell phone and just stare at that. Don't talk to anybody. Don't even go up and say, congratulations, Grandma and Grandpa. Won't even talk to them. I'm seeing that at weddings, too. The couple are up there exchanging vows, and you look out over the people, and half of them have a cell phone in their face. The disrespect out there is just amazing, amazingly bad. And lots of times I like to come up with solutions, and I have no solution to this. It's broken, big time broken. And if it was just me or a friend or something else, you know, I just say, well, that's just what it is. But it's every senior that I know. Every one of them is either cut off from their family or they feel like they're just been thrown out, like they're yesterday's news and they've been put in the dumpster. But I'm complaining for an entire group of people that for somehow society has come in and deemed us as non-essential. Just like I was deemed as non-essential in COVID, and I lost all my work. And I'm never going to have warm feelings about Dr. Fauci for what he did to not only me, but millions of people. And it seems like that we have schools now that say, don't tell the parents. We're going to turn you into a little girl, you little boy now, but we're going to send you to a special doctor. He's going to give you a lollipop and he's going to give you an operation. We're going to give you all this stuff, and you're going to be who you really are supposed to be, and don't tell your parents. So they're already cutting the parents out, but the grandparents aren't even a thought. And if they are, it's just like, just dump them. And I'm just going to be blunt about this. We have some people that are older that listen to Truth to Ponder, as well as we have some younger people. And I'm going to tell you right now that the older people remember the United States as a better place. We remember this as a land of opportunity, the land of the free and the home of the brave. We remember those days. But the younger you are, the more indoctrinated you are, the more you don't really know the beauty of our country and the heritage and what our country truly has stood for since its inception. Our younger people are taught that the United States is evil and was founded by slave owners, and all we've done through history is just horrible things. It seems like there's lots of things that are done symbolically that send messages, like I talked the other day about the vote. I talked about the vote that we had to give Ukraine all those billions of dollars while giving nothing to the United States. And there are elements of Nazism in the Ukraine government. I don't know how much, but I know there are some elements. But it's ironic that they gave that money to Ukraine and had the vote on the same day as Adolf Hitler's birthday. I think symbolism means things, and that's part of the problem of family. The older people are a symbol of feebleness and a symbol of just a failed past that we just have to get rid of. The older people remember history, and they're trying to rewrite history so we can tell junior what they're learning in school is wrong, because we lived it. We were there. And so we're the enemy to the system. But I can't figure out how it was able to catch on so hard that literally every senior that I know is having some kind of an issue with family that deals with just them being totally left in the dirt. Every one of them. I know that several years back, a friend of mine had a Christmas gift that they wanted to give to their grandson. And this friend was apprehensive, did not want to see the grandson, just wanted to leave the package at the door and leave. I don't know what the dynamics were, I didn't ask. But as a friend, I said I would support my friend and at least ride in the car, and I did. And my friend called ahead and talked to the family and said, I'm bringing a present over and I want to just meet someone at the door and I will leave. I just want to leave a package. And it took about 20 minutes to get there. And when we got there, there was a police car there. And the policeman walked up and said, are you so-and-so? And I said, yes. I said, well, if you step foot on this property, I will have to arrest you for trespassing. That was after arrangements I thought were made to drop off a Christmas gift. And so I've seen some real ugly. I don't know what the dynamics were. I don't know if the older person deserved that kind of just total rejection. I don't know, but I've seen it. And then helping with this man that passed away and being one of the first ones in his house and to see the reactions of the family was just, it was just hideous. And they're going to have a celebration of life for him coming up later this month, and I'm going to attend. And I don't think his kids are going to attend. I think it's just going to be a couple of family members. I never met the man when he was alive. I think I got to know him very well in death because I had to sit with him for several hours. And without trying to be too gory, trying to spare you the details, but I was the one that cleaned up the scene. And I learned something that when you're with someone that's passed and you're trying to take care of them as best as you can after they've passed, there was some sort of a bond that happened. I don't know how it happened, but I'm going to go to his celebration of life and I'm going to honor the man. I never met him. Spent time with him, but I didn't know him. I spent time with him after he had passed. But there was no respect. I saw no respect given to that man by anybody. But yet he was a successful man, had a great job. He made it really high up in the company that he was working in, seemed to have lots of friends, and seemed to have made quite a bit of money. But when it came right down to it, nobody cared. And to the second, I am bothered by that. I just don't think that anybody deserves that. I don't know what the dynamics of his family was But it seems that there's so much of this going on that there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason that older people are now just being shunned. There was a time where people would drive and visit grandma or grandpa. They would like the song, "Over the River and Through the Woods, to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows a way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifting snow." That song couldn't be written today, not only because of the horse and sleigh, but nobody would go see grandma's house. Nobody would go see grandma. It just doesn't happen anymore. I don't know why. Now, if you happen to be a grandparent and you don't have these issues, well, that's great. I'm really happy for you. But I have some older people that are parents that they're having trouble with their children the same way. That they'll train their children up and send them to college and set them up in business, and then all of a sudden, no calls, no nothing. Just forgotten, just gone. Talked to a man the other day, and he was talking about his son, how he'd put his son through college and how they had worked up a partnership, and the son agreed to go get a degree in what they were in their business, in their field, in their line of work. It wasn't just a couple of weeks after he came back and acted like he was going to try to help his father. He just decided that he didn't want to do that anymore. He was just going to do something else, which is all right because you got to live your own life. But the bad part of it was he never told his father. He just left. And his father's wondered, well, where's my son? Then he finds his son's moved on and doesn't want anything to do with him. He doesn't know why. And so we have an awful lot of this going on. And so we have to be in prayer. We have to pray for our families. That's the only thing I can come up with on this as far as a solution is just prayer. But Satan is working overtime. He is doing nothing but destroy and tear apart and just incinerate relationships and institutions and anything that has value. And I'm one of those people that believe that God is the author of the family. As far as the genesis of the family goes, it goes back to Almighty God. And so I know that it's Satan that's tearing it apart because he's trying to tear apart everything that God has built or God has made or created. So we have to stay in prayer. And if you happen to be one of the grandparents that has these issues, well, my heart goes out to you, and I pray that things will get better. And if you're one of the grandparents or older people that are not experiencing this, well, good. If you're one of the younger people that are honoring the older people in your life, that's a good thing. I commend you. But if you're one of the younger people that are too busy, or something has brainwashed you against, or something has come up and just absolutely changed you to where you have nothing to do with your grandparents or maybe great-grandparents, maybe father or mother. If you have something that needs to be worked out, well, I would urge you to work things out. Because we're heading into a time period where you young people are going to have all the combined wisdom of us older people. I'm telling you. We're in uncharted waters, but I know an awful lot of older people that are smart as a tack that could really help us in these hard times. And I know an awful lot of young people that think they know everything and they know nothing. And they're just going to get ground up and chewed up by Satan and spit out, or else they'll just be devoured. And I'm going to tell you right now that all the generations need to pull together because what's happening is generational. What's happening in this world is spiritual. And we have to recognize it for what it is. It's evil. And it's going to take grandma and grandpa, great grandma and great grandpa, going to take the babies, the toddlers, the children, the parents, the teenagers. It's going to take us all to get through these hard times. When Bob Bierman plays some recordings that he that he has made at his church. Sometimes there's small children making noise in the background. And I've heard Bob say that that's music to his ears, and I agree with him. That's our future. That's the age that needs to grow up with people of faith. They need to grow up honoring God. They need to grow up with that being normal in their life. And it's very sad, but it's not normal in people's lives anymore. It just isn't. And we need to change that. And if you're an older person that has shunned the younger people, well, I got to tell you, the younger people need you. Whether they know it or not, they do. But that's been put on my heart because I've had so many things happen the last 6 months or so that lets me know that it's epidemic and it has to be addressed and has to be remedied, actually. And I hope the right people heard this show today. I really do appreciate Bob Bierman allowing me to speak to his great audience. And until my next segment, everyone, stay strong. Keep your powder dry. And never, ever forget, replace fear with faith. Now, back to Bob.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you for sharing that with our audience today here on Truth to Ponder. And I know that many in this audience appreciate the effort you're putting in to help me during these very busy times. I don't know what I would do without all that Jim is doing to help me keep this ministry afloat. Now, neither Jim or I get paid for what we do. We do our time, our bits, voluntarily, because we have another calling that we're answering to, and this is just part of that calling. Now, my regular needs, day-to-day, month-to-month, they're taken care of. And time is my hardest commodity to find. And so I want to make sure that I'm using my time wisely. I know I have a small church that needs more of my time or somebody else to help me in that church. I've got a small radio station to build here to serve the community in which we live. And once again, time is the enemy. And then we have the radio program each and every day. And coupled alongside of it, my health situation that takes a good amount of our time and some travel, as we're doing right now. And I'll share more on Monday when I have some updates to give you. But to stay on radio is becoming an increasingly costly prospect. And adding WTWW, I know, is added audience, but it has not really added any substantial revenue. And so it becomes increasingly difficult with each passing month to stay on WTWW. And I'd like to, but I need to know that it means something to you. I know many listen as a podcast. That's fine. But if you'd like to see us stay on, this is the time to let me know. You can do that by making a check or money order out to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. You can also support us from the website using Give, Send, Go, the website truth2ponder.com. Look for the support tab. Or Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.